Well, I just have one thing that I want to say to you this morning, and that is, Merry Moss, everyone! It's just not the same without Christ, is it? Hallelujah. But sadly, did you know that the holiday season is, for many people, the most depressing time of the year? Do you know that the suicide rate is greater from Thanksgiving to New Year than any other time of the year? It seems like it's so easy to get wrapped up in all of those holiday preparations, all those holiday festivities, and to get lost, even in our pain, even in our grief, and even in our loss. But let us remember this about Christmas. Let us remember that Christmas is not about the madness of the situation. It's not about the madness of the season. It's about the message of God in Jesus. Amen. And I pray that that is the overriding experience that you glean this Christmas season. So today, for just a few minutes, let's make sure that we leave our world behind and let's visit Bethlehem just one more time. And let's let today, let's let Jesus transform our Christmas. You know, that night, the night that God became flesh, that night that God began his walk among men, that night that ranks as the greatest moment in human history, it was a night of tremendous miracles. It was a night of supernatural blessings. Friend, it was a night when God moved into the world to live, and as we just sang, ultimately to die. And though the story is over 2,000 years old, my prayer for you today is that the story becomes as fresh as the very first time you ever heard it. And so as we return to Bethlehem today, as we find that Mary has delivered Jesus into the world, I want us also to see that there were many other Christmas messages that were being delivered that day as well. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2? The doctor, the physician, as he narrates the birth of Christ for us, wrote in chapter 2, verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then an angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign. The sign to you, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was, while the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Did you hear that the first message was a message from angels? A message specifically from an angel. An angel gave a message of peace. And you ask, well, what kind of message of peace was it, Brother Bill? Well, the angel gave a soothing message. See, you got to admit, that's a lot of strange happenings going on in one night. That's a lot of startling announcements going on in one evening. That is a lot of amazing sights that surrounded the birth of Jesus. I mean, it'd be enough to strike fear in the heart of the strongest man. But the angel said, fear not. Don't you be afraid. See, because the angel had told the same thing to Zacharias. Zacharias, who was the father of John the Baptist, the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. The angel said the same thing to Mary. In verse 30 of Luke chapter 1, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Angel said, same thing to Joseph. But when he was thinking about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Do not be afraid, Joseph, son of David, to take to Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. See, it was a very soothing message, friend. But what was the soothing message? The soothing message here is this. Jesus removes fear. Jesus removes fear. There are a great many things that you and I need not fear because Jesus is here. Amen. You and I need not fear life and everything that life can throw at us. We need not fear death and the fear of the grave. We need not fear hell anymore because we can be heaven bound. We need not fear even Satan, the incredible enemy of God. This peaceful message of the angel was indeed very soothing. Amen. But the angel also delivered a salvation message. What was that message? Simply said, good tidings of great joy for all people and unto you. Right? He said, there's incredible news of not fear, but joy. And it's not just for you, it's for all the world. What an incredible salvation message. But you know what's really significant here is those three titles that are given to Jesus. Even as a babe, those three titles were, first of all, Savior. How many of you know that you cannot be accepted by God unless you have a Savior? Amen. The second title is Christ. How many of you know that you have no access to God? Only one can do it. That is the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Christ. He can do it. Amen. And not only have we got acceptance by God, not only do we have access to God, but he also, that third title, Lord. See, to have admission into God's heaven, you and I must submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But ultimately, and the greatest blessing to us is the fact that Jesus was called Savior. Not a good example, not just a teacher. He was called Savior. You've heard this said before, that had our greatest need been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, then God would have sent a scientist. Had our greatest need been money, God would have sent us an economist. Had our greatest need been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. Had our greatest need been military, then God would have sent a general. Had our greatest need been for justice, God would have sent a judge. But he didn't send any of those things, did he? No. Our greatest need was for forgiveness. Our greatest need was for redemption. And so God sent a Savior with a salvation message. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. A very soothing message. A salvation message. But this angel also gave a very showing message. Look there again in verse 12. And this will be the sign for you. What's the angel doing? Angel's pointing the way. Here's the sign for you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. My. Did you notice that the angel was pointing the way to Jesus? He was pointing the way to the Lord. There's going to be some time in your life, my friend, when you're going to encounter somebody and they are going to need the way pointed out for them. My question to you is, are you going to point the way to Jesus? Will you point out the way to Jesus? Can I tell you that when you do that, when you're faithful to point the way to Jesus, that you are doing the work of angels? Amen? Let us be diligent and willing to point the way to Jesus. But then after pointing the way to Christ, we find that all the angels gave a shouting message. Look in verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. We learned last night at our Christmas party that a heavenly host, a multitude of heavenly hosts, could have been anywhere from 10,000 to 100,000 angels who were praising this. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Can you imagine that sound resonating in your brain? Amen. What a blessing that would have been. All the angels together praising the Creator God. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. Praise to God and peace to men. You know, in 27 BC, Caesar Augustus, the same one that's in this narrative, Caesar Augustus ordered what was called Pax Romana. Pax Romana was Roman peace from war that lasted 206 years. Think of that. Rome had given the world peace from war for over two centuries. But that wasn't nothing compared to what Jesus did, because Jesus came to offer us peace with God that lasts forever. Amen? He even said in John chapter 14, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. Here he is getting ready to depart. And Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. No, my peace. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it neither be afraid. Friend, that alone is enough to praise Jesus forever. Amen. But notice this, that not only did the angels deliver a message of peace, we also find that the shepherds delivered a message of praise. Now these shepherds, you need to know something about them. These shepherds were considered social outcasts. These shepherds were considered the dregs of society. They were considered the lowest of the low. But why? Here's why. Their duties of taking care of dirty animals made them spiritually unclean, according to the religious establishment. In fact, the fact that they were unable to come to the temple for weeks on end prevented them from ever getting clean. But I want to give a praise to the Lord Jesus today, because praise God, that is the crowd that Jesus came for. You hearing me? That's the crowd that Jesus came for. You see, Jesus didn't come to rescue the saved. No, he came to save the lost. He came to save those who were unable to get clean on their own. To save those who desperately needed a Savior to get them clean from their sins. And consider this, these shepherds were likely the very men who raised the lambs who were used in the temple sacrifices. So how fitting would it be that these shepherds would be the very first men who would meet the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ? What a blessing it is. So, what messages do these shepherds have for me and you today? The first message that the shepherds have for you and I is a message of obedience. In verse 15, Luke says, "So it was when the angels had gone from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with great haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." They followed the message, obedient to the angel, the one that they had received that message. And I want to tell you that we need to heed the message of heaven. We need to heed the same message. How many people over all the centuries, how many people in the Bible have said, "Hey, come and see. Come and see." Consider the first disciple, Philip, who said to Nathanael and had learned about Jesus and told him about Jesus. And the first thing he said to him was, "Hey, come and see." But my favorite is one that touches my heart. And it was that Samaritan woman at the well who left her water pot and she went into town and she told the townspeople, "Come and see. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he be the Christ? Come and see. Come and see." I pray that those three words resonate in your spirit to tell other people to come and see. Friend, have you obeyed the gospel? Are you saved today? Do you know that you have trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? And friend, if you have, I pray you have, but if you have, are you telling people, come and see? Are you inviting people, come and see? Come and see for yourself. See, we try to make sharing the gospel so tough. We try to make it so difficult, but it's just not that hard. Consider Acts chapter 16, where that Philippian jail brought Paul and Silas out of the jail. And the first thing that jailer told them or asked them was, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Amen. It's not that difficult. We just need to be able to share with people, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said to the Roman church in Romans chapter 10, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. We need to share that name above all names, Jesus. And do you know that Jesus himself, in John 6:47, said this, "He who believes in me has everlasting life." That's from the Lord himself. So never get away from the simplicity that comes from sharing the good news of Jesus. These shepherds, they were just being obedient. Are you? We've got a house full of believers here today. Are you being obedient to invite people to come and see? People that don't know the Lord, people that don't have a relationship with God, are you inviting them? Come on in and see for yourself. Come and see. I pray that you are. But this message is not only a message of obedience, it's also a message of opportunity. Take a look at verse 17. "Now when they had seen him," the baby, "they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at the things which were told to them by these shepherds." So what did the shepherds do? Simply said, they just spread the word. that has spread the word about Jesus Christ. What an example for every one of us here today. Just spread the word. Tell somebody about Jesus. Amen? Especially this time of year. Resolve, my friend, to tell others about Jesus. Resolve to tell them about the only one that can save them from their sins. Resolve to tell them about the only one that can get them to heaven. His name is Jesus. I pray that you'll do that. And listen, it's his command. It's not a suggestion. It's his command. Some of his final words, Jesus said to his followers, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name," get this, "in the singular name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." One name, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen? So baptizing them in the name of God, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Boy, these shepherds provide a fantastic example for us. The lowest of the low, the dregs of society, the outcasts, the unclean, and yet they obediently shared this incredible message of divine opportunity. But it was not only an obedient message and an opportunistic message, it was also an overwhelming message. Take a look in verse 20. "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them." Get this. These men returned to where they came from. These men returned to their sheep. But notice this. Their situation didn't change. It was the same as it was when they left the sheep. It was the same as it was. They were still shepherds. They were still outcasts. They were still dregs. They were still the lowest of the low. They were still out in the field. Their circumstances had not changed, but praise God, their heart sure did. You still may be the lowest of the low. You still may be an outcast. You may still may be in a horrible circumstance, but your heart can change even while you're in it. These men returned with their hearts full of praise for God, full of praise for what God has done. Oh, what a difference Jesus can make. Amen. If we would just accept him, tell people about him, and allow him to do his changing work in their lives. You see, the Lord's great purpose in my life and yours is to make sure that sinners are changed to saints. We can't do it, but Jesus can do it. Change sinners to saints through the power of God's grace, and only by that. So I want to encourage you, learn to praise God even in your problems. It might be tough. You might be in pain. You might be struggling. You might have a loved one you just lost. You might be in some significant problems. But learn to praise God even in your problems. And listen, God will honor that. He will honor that. Amen. Your situation may be bad, but remember, a better day's coming. Amen. A better day's coming. Here's the promise that the Bible makes to believers, that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. You can't compare the problems you're going through with what's coming to you. Amen. It's going to be a much, much better day. So friend, if you love God, I want to tell you this today. You have everything to gain and absolutely nothing to lose. But if you reject God, you have everything to lose and nothing to gain. The angels delivered this message of peace. The shepherds delivered this message of praise. But then there's this innkeeper. He's not spoken of by name. He's not even spoken of by that title. But somebody was keeping the inn. Amen. This innkeeper gave a message of rejection. And as we read that one sentence in verse 7, where the Bible says that Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. As we read that, I don't hear any evil intent by this person. But y'all, what kind of person, what kind of man would turn away a very pregnant woman into the night? To me, I think it reveals a very hard heart in this innkeeper. I mean, think about it. If you were in his shoes, and this woman's getting ready to blow, somebody say amen. She's getting ready to give birth, could be right there on the spot. Are you going to kick her to the curb? Or might you say, hey, Mary, you can have my room. You can have my room. Before we come down on this innkeeper, maybe we should examine our own lives. Because this hard-hearted innkeeper delivered a message of sadness. He said, I'm sorry, sir. I ain't got no room for Jesus. Ain't got no room for Jesus. When I hear that, it brings back memories of my understanding of the scriptures where the crowd cried out, away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Do you have room for Jesus? Maybe the better question for you today is, how much room do you have for Jesus? I want to encourage you in this. After you answer that question to yourself, I want to encourage you to lay aside whatever is in the way between you and Jesus. I want to encourage you to break down any barrier that hinders your relationship with Jesus. I want to encourage you today to tear down every wall that prevents his influence and let Jesus in. Let him change your life. Let him use you as a vessel of God. I believe this innkeeper's very sad message gives us evidence of the condition of his heart. And as we contemplate those very hard questions, it probably will reveal the condition of ours as well. But this hard-hearted innkeeper also delivered a message of sorrow. The message basically was, no Jesus, no hope for you. But if you know Jesus, then you can know the hope that he offers. Amen. See, without Jesus, friend, you ain't got no hope. Without Jesus, you ain't got no heaven. I'll just say this. Without Jesus, you ain't even got life. You may be existing, but do you have a life based on God's purpose? Without Jesus, you don't. Jesus himself said, I'm the way. I'm the life. I'm the truth. And no one comes to the Father except through me. We need to remember that. Y'all, the only thing that awaits a sinner who is rejecting Jesus is, get this, the only thing that awaits him is sorrow. Sorrow in this life and sorrow in the next. But this hard-hearted innkeeper also delivers a message of separation. Consider that innkeeper for just a second. All warm and snuggly in his bed. And then consider Jesus, the Son of God, laid in a feeding trough on a cold night. Dirty and filthy. See, it was the innkeeper's rejection of Jesus that prevented him from ever knowing the peace that the angels were proclaiming. It's the innkeeper's rejection that kept him from ever knowing the praising of life that the shepherds declared. But can I tell you, there was even more than that? Because the innkeeper's rejection also kept him from knowing the joy of a relationship with God that only comes through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it very well could have also kept him from eternal life. For to be without Jesus Christ is to be without heaven. The Bible's crystal clear when John wrote in 1 John 5:12. I love it when the Bible's simple, gets through this hard head, amen. This is as simple as it gets. John said, whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son does not have life. It's just that simple. So y'all, as we consider these Christmas messages today, I think we need to receive the good news of the angels just like the shepherds did. Amen? We need to come to know Jesus, not just superficially, not from the outside in. We need to know him intimately from the inside out. Amen. We need to truly know the Savior and then go away praising and glorifying God because of what we received because of Jesus. So, final question for you. What kind of life is your life preaching? Because you profess to be a Christian, because you profess to be a believer, people watch you. What kind of message is your life preaching? If you're honest, like the angels, are you living a life that points men to Jesus? Or, like the shepherds, are you so filled with the wonder and praise of God that every single day of your life is glorious and it's all because of Jesus? Or would you have to admit that, like the innkeeper, you ain't got no room for Jesus? Or you ain't got much room for Jesus? Which one of those describes you best? The angels? The shepherds? Or that innkeeper? Can I tell you that it's not too late? If you're not where you want to be, it's not too late. As long as you have breath in your lungs, it's not too late. But when that day comes that you don't have breath in your lungs, it's too late. I want to remind you that 2,025 years ago, roughly, Mary brought forth her only son, her firstborn son, conceived by the Holy Spirit, whose name was called Jesus, because he would save their people, his people, from their sins. And I'm here to tell you that it's not too late for you. That if you can place your trust in that Christmas message, that the Son conceived by the Holy Spirit was born for you as much as it was for me or anyone else of the other believers, then you can live a life praising and glorifying God all your days, and you can enjoy a life of peace, not only here, but for all eternity in heaven with him. So as I mentioned when we opened, you can walk out of here changed. You can walk out of here different than you walked in. And it ain't because of Bill. It ain't because of Bethel. It ain't because of anybody else. It's only because of Jesus. And he is who we celebrate today. That's why we're here today. It's all about Jesus. And so I want to invite you today that if you're ready for a change, know it's not too late. You can come to Christ and begin to live out your God-given purpose here on earth. And when your days are done on earth, you'll be living out an eternity with the Savior who died for you. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we rejoice that every day that we breathe is an opportunity whereby we can give our lives to you. But Lord, we have to at least examine just how much room we're given for you. How much room are we allowing Jesus to have to change our lives and the lives of those around us? Lord, I for one, I don't want any more of my life to get in the way. When people see me, I want them to say, he's the one that always says, come and see. God, I pray in Jesus' name that each one of us, as we move into this new year, Father, we be about the angels' business, the angels' message of peace, that we be about the shepherd's business of praise. And that, Father, unlike that innkeeper, Lord, we be accepting the message of acceptance, accepting Jesus as our Savior, accepting Jesus as the Christ, accepting Jesus as our Lord. Lord, during this decision time, during this song, it's an opportunity for each one of us to examine ourselves, to come to the altar and pray. Lord, maybe there's one here that's just broken as they can be, and they just need to spend some time in prayer with you. There are people here that would love to pray with you. And I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, whatever needs to happen in your life, that you would use this Christmas season, this Christmas service, to give it all to the one who can do something about it. His name is Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. And all God's people said. Amen.